Welcome, Superpower Success Podcast listeners. We are back again today. So glad to have you here. A little reminder about this podcast. Hopefully you're here because you need a little energy shot without all the side effects. And we are here today to do a little deeper dive on superpowers again. But we're going to talk about them from a little different perspective. So today we're going to talk about whether your superpowers have a season to them, meaning throughout life, do those superpowers change and do they evolve and what does that look like? So I have as my guest, and I'm very honored to have Cheryl Lightshue here with me today, who has a lot of experience in the superpower world and has used her superpowers throughout a very long career, doing organizational development training, really helping leaders be better leaders, and now has a passion for helping women business owners be better business owners. And so we're going to talk today about our superpowers. And with Cheryl's experience, we're just going to talk about the journey of what that looks like as life happens, as your career happens, and as you just kind of go through the natural evolution and growth that happens with life experience. So I'm going to let Cheryl introduce herself and kind of give us a little bit of information about what she's done and what she's doing today in her business.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Jamie. I'm so delighted to be here with you. And, you know, as you said, I am in my 60s now, and I'm still live and kicking and running my business. So I've had a lot of life experience, and I hope that I can share some things worthwhile for your listeners today. But I started my business back when I had a 3-month-old and I had a 4-year-old. I started my business because I wanted to be flexible in my business. And I loved the notion of coaching and guiding, but this was 25 years ago, so that terminology was not even on the radar screen. And I wanted to go back into corporate America because I came from that before I left to have my children to influence how corporate America was running. And so I did that. I had more guts and brains, and I have a lot of brains, but I just started off with an idea of what I wanted, began to knock on doors, and found that I found my niche. I found my groove into what I could offer within corporate America. And I did that for 25 years. I went from little solopreneur Cheryl in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to an international and national practice just because of so many great doors that opened for me. And over the 25 years, probably in the last 4 or 5 years, I decided I was really done with that business. So when you talk about seasons of life, you know, hopefully we'll touch on some of that. And I was having a lot of women-owned small businesses knocking on my door saying, Cheryl, you're doing something right. What can I learn from you? And I realized that I was making another transition in my life to use my superpowers in a different way, but more for my legacy work, to be able to empower others to have the same beautiful lifestyle that I've been blessed to have, and by having this crazy thing called my entrepreneurial business, which has led me to a lot of ups and downs in my business. So today, I do minimal work in the corporate world. I have a couple of clients that I still love, and they still love me. But most of my time is spent in supporting women-owned small businesses and developing things that can help them shorten that learning curve that I had to go through the school of hard knocks, right, and a lot of pain to learn a lot of things about myself, but also learn a lot of things about how to run my business.
And I respect that so much, that you've come to a point where you just know that what you've learned and that experience is something that's so important that you can pay it forward, right? And mm-hmm. help other people think about their business differently and what that legacy is. And you use the word legacy, and this is such a powerful word for me. And I think it's something that's become even more powerful in the last couple of years in my business. But I also thought it was powerful when I was in corporate, because it was something I was searching for, but I wasn't getting. And so our listeners, you know, come from having businesses and also working in the corporate world and are really balancing it all, right? This thing called life. Yeah. And when you talk about legacy, I'm just curious your opinion on, does legacy come, that need to have a legacy, come later in life? Or do you think people have that point kind of throughout life and it just looks a little differently, and what that legacy, because I personally hit it at, you know, in my 30s, that I was like, there's got to be something more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of us are, that's part of our superpowers, is we're always looking for there's something more. whether we're doing that for ourselves or whether we're doing that for our clients. And when we're, now I'm going to speak from the entrepreneur world, I think when you're an entrepreneur, it really is about you. So being in touch with where you are and what you're doing is so important. Not that it's not in the corporate world, but it certainly is important as an entrepreneur. But I do think for me, it was connecting my head with my heart. And when I could connect with my heart and listen to what my heart wanted, that's when the whole notion of doing more legacy and how was I going to move things forward became even more important and even clearer to myself about what that needed to be.
So this just brings up a great question for me in that, you know, people that I work with that do work in corporate and leadership and your background, you know, leading and helping to train leaders in that corporate world. And like you said, really influence how corporate America runs and trying to make it a more positive environment in that day to day is, you know, what advice would you give to somebody in that role on how to tap into that? I love that heart, you know, and head kind of combining and how you get to that purpose, even when you're not an entrepreneur, because you and I both know entrepreneurship is not for everyone.
Exactly.
Right? And how do you help people kind of connect that in a corporate environment when they are in those roles and they have a lot of influence, right, on other people's lives and their careers? What advice would you give those leaders?
So I have two answers to that question. One is, most of the time when I ran into leaders that were willing to connect the head and the heart, it's because they were going through some kind of transition. They were miserable in what they were doing. They just didn't feel like they were making a difference. It comes out of some pain. And so I'm going to refer back to something I used in my own life back when I was 25 and I thought, okay, I graduated from college. Now I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And then the first time I reached that point of going, holy cow, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. There's so much more and I don't have the answers to that. And I ran across a book by Gail Sheehy called Passages. It's a very old book. She's republished it a number of times. But Passages is a beautiful book because it talks about in our adult life, we have transition times and we have building times. And if we allow ourselves and recognize that there's going to be times when we're in transition, those times when we say, is this all there is? I want something more. That is a normal part of growing as an adult. And if we embrace those times rather than trying to run away from those times or find quick answers, we're going to end up in the next building point of our life with a richer understanding of who we are and continuing to grow and develop in who we are. That was so powerful to me to read at 25 because, number one, it gave me permission to say, it's okay to not know. It's okay to be in the question. Having the discomfort is actually a good thing because it's going to lead you to something more, okay? So oftentimes when I was in the corporate world, when people were coming with that question, I would say, oh, how wonderful, because now it gives you an opportunity to open up to even more of your superpowers, even more of how you want to lead. But that transition point is also not easy because it requires doing some introspection into who you are, understanding some of those superpowers, understanding some of those strengths, understanding that, you know, what do I want? What do I bring? Where do I want to go now? And most of us have never been taught that. Most of us have been taught, sit in your desk. I'll tell you when the paper's due, how long it's supposed to be. Should it be typewritten or handwritten? You know, double spaced or single spaced. And in corporate America, we often get into that march of what are they wanting me to do? And no matter what it is that you do when you're in that transition point to meet somebody else's expectations, you still have that angst inside of you. And that's part of what leads you to, and it's led me, to opening that heart and head connection to really be able to play to my superpowers and then be able to move to that legacy piece of my life. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And I'm looking up the book, but I've never heard of that transition time and building time and reflecting back. And I'm guessing all of our listeners can really reflect back and go, yeah, I can pinpoint those points when I was in transition and something stirred inside of me and I just wasn't okay with the way it was anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? Something changes. And for some people, it can change overnight. Right? Or absolutely. It can be a life event that happens, an illness or, you hope it's not something severe, but sometimes that's what it takes to mm-hmm. kind of shake people into that transition. So mm-hmm. during those transition and building times, I'm curious as to whether you believe, that your strengths adjust and change, or if they just become more magnified and strong and you get deeper into them during those times of transition?
Yeah, I think you become more of who you are. So I think the strengths, and that's certainly in my own case. You know, when I was younger, I was stubborn. I wasn't necessarily aware of that, the downsides of my strengths and superpowers. And as I began trying to understand more of me, there were a lot of different assessments that came around. I mean, Strength Finders is a great one these days, but I will tell you that wasn't around when I was 30 in my 30s. That wasn't out there. There was the Myers-Briggs. There was every piece of information that you can gain about yourself begins to strengthen that knowledge, and you begin to play more to the strengths. When I was unaware, I didn't know how to manage the downside of those strengths because I do have a lot of very strong superpowers, and I felt that I was odd. And not unique, but that I was odd. And so for many years, I kind of downplayed that so that people wouldn't judge me in a certain way, rather than realizing, oh, it's just how I manage that superpower, because some of my superpowers are very powerful and I would lean too much in and scare the bejeebers out of people. And then of course they'd push away from me and not recognizing that it was something that I was doing. And so I couldn't be heard. So as you get wiser about that, you grow more into your superpowers and you become gentler, more confident, more grounded in using them in a way that helps the world see and understands you.
That is so true. And I'm kind of smiling because I started my career and a few years in, we were very heavy in the corporate world and we were very heavy in Strength Finders. And I really I'm very thankful for that. And this is not a plug for Strength Finders, but it was a paradigm shift for me to say, wait a minute, those things I don't like to do, those things that aren't naturally innate to me that I thought I just had to do, right? Had to put up with, it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. That those aren't my strengths. And I'm just gaining that awareness was really powerful. But what it also did for me is realize that my strengths were really great when they were controlled and used for good. Yeah. But strengths can very quickly become weaknesses, like you said, when they're overpowering and you know, they aren't coming from the right place and you're aggressive or you're using them in a stronger way maybe than they need to for the situation. So it's finding that balance of when those strengths are really powerful, but when they become kind of over, like burdensome, right? And too much.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that you talked about, and this is exactly what I experienced, so I guarantee that the listeners have gone through this as well, is until we've got that confidence built up and until we have those transition moments where we kind of grow up, in our thoughts and our, you know, what we want from life, we tend to downplay our strengths. And I talked about this in a few podcasts ago, but I experienced it as well, where it felt arrogant for me, especially in the corporate world, to talk about what my strengths were.
Yeah.
And it felt very strange where I would downplay them. That's really the word, and try to make them smaller because I didn't want to be seen as, you know, someone that was trying to take advantage of a situation and that's ultimately what my demise from corporate was, because I got to a point where I was not utilizing and I wasn't being allowed to utilize because I think I had downplayed them for so long and I knew there was more. And that was my big transition. And I know there's a lot of people in the corporate world that are feeling that, and not that you have to leave corporate to fix that. You just have to get back into a place where those strengths are utilized, you know, even more.
I do think for women, it's a bigger issue as well. So there's culturally in our culture that, you know, who are you to talk about who you are and the strengths you have, as opposed to the Japanese culture. If you got together in a meeting, people would be saying, okay, I'm the best person to do that because I have these strengths and they make sense for this particular project. But I think we also, as women, tend to try to take a softer voice and feel like, at least this was the case for me, that I have to be aggressive to show my strengths instead of being caring and compassionate and servant leader, that I can do that and still share my strengths in a way that is gentle, but yet is honored.
You know, I do, to bring that up, I definitely felt a bit of that, you know, in my generation and when I graduated in the field I was in. I felt that a little bit, but I'm happy to say the coaching clients that I have, and it could just be the people that are drawn to me because of how I coach and how I work with people, but I'm feeling like there is an evening out happening.
Oh, good.
Especially in the corporate world. And so that's very promising to me.
Yes.
That people are becoming, you know, more open, and the word I use is vulnerable, and just saying, you know, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm not.
Yep.
And I'm not saying everybody listening is in that position to be able to have that kind of a conversation, but I think that's probably, whether you're in corporate or you are an entrepreneur and you're showing up in front of a client, it is crucial that you get to a point of authenticity.
Yeah.
And when we're in an inauthentic place, that's when we actually have issues with people, because we can't feel safe to show up who we are, or we feel like we have to be somebody different. And that's what we talk about a lot in this podcast, is not trying to achieve someone else's definition of success, or what my manager looks like and I need to be like them, or another entrepreneur that I respect. Do it your way. Right. And just figure out how to refine what you have, because that's where growth actually comes from, not trying to be somebody else.
Oh, that's beautiful, Jamie. That's so true. And I am so glad to hear you talk about that it's evening out and maybe people can find their voice earlier. But it's okay when you're early in the journey and you can't find your voice, because part of that is the giving yourself permission to be able to seek that voice and understand that it is going to get richer and stronger and clearer and more beautiful as you allow yourself that wisdom of time and experience.
And I think there's a couple of factors in finding that voice. I agree with you, because you can't, life experience has to happen, right? So the 20 sums that are listening that are frustrated and, you know, dealing with this in a transition, it has to happen that way. Because you can't jump right into where you and I are at, where we kind of know, right? And we've honed it in. Life experience has to happen to get you there. And there's a couple of things that I think are crucial to you being able to transition and make that growth, is having the right people around you.
Oh,
so
yes.
I did a podcast with Brittany Tabrock about knowing your tribe, right? And really evaluating your tribe and knowing at different seasons of your career, of your business, of just life, there's going to be people that come in and out, and you've got to constantly be evaluating. Do you have the right people around you, both to support you and push you? Because if you have too much of one or the other, it can be a little more painful, right? In that transition, if everybody's supporting you and you have this cozy environment where you're just okay with okay, you need someone to kind of give you the kick in the pants to push you, but you don't want everybody around you pushing you so that you're burnt out and stressed out and trying to do too much, right? Beyond what your skill set and experience are at that level. So I think that's really important. And then I think the other thing is to find a mentor, a coach, you know, they can have different terms, whatever it is, really to sponsor you and to support you. And one of my favorite sayings is to believe in you before you believe in yourself. I mean, you likely had those people and you immediately can go to them in your mind. I had those. And so I think each one of us has to check and say, do I have someone in my life right now that believes in me even when I don't believe in me?
Yes. I oftentimes have people do an exercise where, who is their support continuum? So you oftentimes have a lot of friends, right? Acquaintances, people you can call on, but oftentimes, or family, they have an agenda that may not always be about pushing you or nurturing you. They want to keep you in a certain way. And then on the other side of the equation is, who's the champions, who's the mentors, who's the coaches? You don't need a lot of those. You also want role models. You don't need a lot of those, but you need to make sure that that side of the equation is also filled. So beautiful message, Jamie.
Yeah, it's I've actually got on my podcast schedule a future podcast just around, like, who are you kind of sharing, you know, your trials and tribulations with, because absolutely spouses, family members, very supportive, but especially as an entrepreneur, they are not always the best people for you when you're having the bad day in business or in your career or your boss. They're not always the right person to go to with that, because they care about you in a different way, right? They want, they don't want you to be sad. They want you to, you know, they want to protect you. and they also don't want risk. So as an entrepreneur, I have to be very careful on decisions I'm making, good days, bad days in the business, because we don't necessarily want to take all of those people that love us, that are family, along that ride with us, because it's a tough ride some days. We need to have those other people in our lives, whether it is a coach or a mentor or somebody you can go to when you want to pull your hair out, and they can, you know, they can help kind of get you back to level.
Great.
Have you had those people in your life, in your career?
I have. And it's interesting. Many of them have been coaches that I've hired. I've always had a coach. I have a coach now because I don't always see clearly. And for somebody to be able to see clearly and hear what I'm saying and be able to coach and guide me has been very important. And also to be able to have the time to step back, because sometimes it isn't that I have amazing new stuff to share with my coach, but it's the accountability of stepping back and looking at what's going on and where is it that I'm at. Because when you're high achieving, as many of us are, including people on this podcast, sometimes we don't take the time to step back and slow down and really evaluate, am I using my strengths? How could I use them differently? Am I feeling joyful in what I'm doing? What's not fitting? Just asking those good questions to make that happen. I always have. But it took me a while to understand that, because I thought I had to do it all myself. You know, I had the superwoman complex. I need to do this all myself. And if I have to reach out for others, that's a sign of weakness. Oh my goodness. When I finally started reaching out, number one, huge doors opened for me in my business. But number two, huge doors opened for me as a person and being able to be in alignment with who I am and be authentic.
It's so true. It's really a different perspective that a coach or someone in that type of role for you plays, because they're not emotionally invested. They're there to help, like you said, pull you back and look at the forest through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you are in the forest all day, every day. You're fighting the battles. You're in it. You're exhausted some days. And to have someone kind of pull you back out and ask you questions, I always say as a coach now, the coaches that I've had have just been brilliant, because none of them told me what I needed to do. It's, you think you hire a coach to tell you what the answers are, when you have the answers all along. You hire a coach to ask you the right questions and to shift your paradigm just enough for you to get to the answer that was already there, mm-hmm. which seems ridiculous that you pay for it, but there's no way we would get there on our own, because it's so cluttered and we have so much going on that we need someone to ask us a question that makes us stop and go, I don't have an answer for that. You know, I need to think about how I would answer that and what I should be doing and those types of things. So it, you know, again, earlier in your career, it's harder to justify and say, I need a coach, but I'm telling you, the earlier you do it, the trajectory of your career and of your business will change.
I agree.
So I want to just wrap it there, and I want to just thank Cheryl so much. So we sat down and had coffee and didn't know each other all that well. We had been connected in networks and literally probably could have chatted all day long, like kind of lose track of time kind of discussion, because the values are so aligned in the way, you know, the experience that she has, the kind of life experience she has been on in her career and her journey. Pattern myself after it. I'm just a little further behind, but a lot of the same things. What's so kind of makes me feel better is that there are so many other people that are dealing with what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Whatever that season is in your business and your career in life, there are other people out there that are dealing with the same thing. And the best thing that you can do is find those people, whether it's a podcast like this, a podcast like Cheryl's, which you should definitely check out. But there's finding those connections and those people that are just maybe a couple steps ahead of you that can give you hope and faith that this too shall pass, right? And you'll get out of this transition and back into a building phase. And so I just thank you so much for being on and taking time out of your busy schedule to be on here with us today and to really drive home this further, this idea of superpowers and how you can leverage them from the very beginning of your career all the way through to the end. And it's really just finding a deeper connection to them and finding out how they can help propel you further, faster, with more fulfillment, because that's really what life's about. And that's what people are on this podcast to hear. So Superpower Success Community, once again, I am so grateful that you are here and that you're listening and that this information and these wonderful speakers that are bringing their real experience and their real successes and failures to you is resonating. And so I just appreciate you subscribing to make sure you get the latest and greatest podcasts when we release them. And if topics like what Cheryl and I discussed is something that is really resonating and that really helps shift your paradigm, I'd love to get a rating and a review. I'd love to hear from you and hear what's really working for you guys, because that's what's going to drive this podcast forward is topics that you guys want to hear more of. So Cheryl, thank you again for being here today, and to the Superpower Success Community, keep refining, driving those superpowers to achieve ultimate success, whatever that success means for you. Until next time, thanks guys.